Thank you for joining me today, and it's good to have you here. God is merciful. That is what we have been learning together, and today I want to conclude this short series by talking with you about the implications of what our Lord Jesus has taught us about His mercy. And then I'm going to tell you what is coming up starting on Monday right here on God Is. A brand new series begins on Monday, but first let me begin by praying for all of us. Dear God, thank you that you are merciful. I know that for many of these listeners and for myself, we believe by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And that makes us recipients of your mercy because while we do not deserve it, Christ died for us. He mercifully took our place in death so that he could take away our sins from us and so that you, holy God, could forgive us of our sins. Thank you. We join with Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, who said of salvation from sin through Jesus, because of the tender mercy of our God. That is very true, Lord. It's because of the tender mercy of you that we are free from our sin. Thank you for your mercy. You are merciful. And now, Jesus, give us your heart to be merciful to others in our lives, and especially to those who have sinned against us and done some wrong to us. Give us the conviction we need to do to them as you have done to us. Please help us with this, O God. Make us a merciful people. I pray that Christians will be merciful. Amen. Well, these have been a fascinating 8 days as we have followed Jesus in the Gospels, and particularly in Mark's Gospel, as he teaches us the mercy of God. Jesus puts mercy in action, and I encourage you to be reflective of what we have learned along the way. Do you want to share with me something that spoke to you? If so, drop me a quick email this weekend and tell me about it. I will find that encouraging. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com, and that will be repeated at the end today. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is giving his famous Sermon on the Mountain, and when we come to verse 7, we find the Lord talking to his listeners about mercy. I'm reading now Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Listen to the words of Jesus. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, this section of Matthew is also known as the Beatitudes. And what Jesus is doing here is to describe what it means to be his follower. He is describing the being of a Christian. He is not primarily talking about the doing of Christians, but rather our being. I love the way Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it in his exceptional book on the Sermon on the Mount. He says that a Christian is something before he does anything, and we have to be Christians before we can act as Christians. He continues, now that is a fundamental point. Being is more important than doing. Attitude is more significant than action. Primarily, it is our character that matters. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones is right. Let's keep that in mind, then, as we talk about Jesus' words. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. What does this mean? As a Christ follower in my being, I am merciful. To be a Christian means I am merciful. How so? Well, to have faith in Christ means that I have accepted that God is being merciful to me. He has pitied me, a poor sinner. He has shown compassion to me, a man who once did not have any relationship with the living God and did not seek or want such a relationship. Instead of treating me as my sins deserve, instead of crushing me under his righteous and justified judgment, God instead exercised his mercy and saved me, rescued me, delivered me from my sin against him and against others. In his mercy, God extended to me a great and amazing grace. And that mercy transformed the landscape of my soul such that because I have obtained mercy, now I can be merciful to others who are where I used to be. I can put it this way. Since God has shown extravagant mercy to me, how can I possibly withhold mercy to others? I give to others what the Lord has given to me, and since the Lord has given to me mercy, then it is mercy that I will pass along to the people in my life, people in severe need of God's mercy expressed out of my being. I do not work up mercy. I do not manufacture mercy. I do not fake mercy. Mercy just comes out of me. It pours out of being Christian. That is what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 5 and verse 7. Jesus is talking about our character. Who we are as Christ's people on the inside shows on the outside. And Jesus is saying the merciful have received mercy, and because of mercy received, mercy is then given. And I believe Christians have the capacity to be the most merciful of anyone in our neighborhoods, in our states, in our country, and in the world today. God is merciful to us so that we will be merciful to others. Being merciful to others means we demonstrate that God is merciful to us. However you want to say it, be merciful. And we have a ready audience. If I can put it this way, or in the business terminology, there's a big market for mercy. Everyone is in desperate need of it, and there are likely people in your life that are, shall we say, easier for you to be merciful to. Your family, your friends, and people you really like. Of course, for others of you, some family member or a person you thought was your friend are the hardest people to extend mercy towards. The individual that has genuinely sinned against you, you want them to receive justice, not mercy. You want them to really pay for what they have done to you. But that will not be how the genuine Christian person feels, at least for long. Now hear me on this. I understand that when a person or persons hurt you, extending them immediate mercy is not always wise, nor do I believe expected by God right away. Let's take abuse as an example. Have you been the recipient of abuse in some form? Sexual, physical, mental, verbal? Are you currently enduring an abusive relationship? I am not saying that you sweep over the abuse and fail to report it to the police, and that you do not immediately seek safe refuge outside the sphere of wherever this abuse is taking place. What you need to do today, now, is remove yourself and your children from that abusive setting. In fact, the mercy of God for you is that you be protected now. God is never asking us to remain in abusive and dangerous situations. What I am talking about is the sin that is committed against us that isn't abusive in this way. Sin has so many forms that it's impossible for me to cover every example, but let me test one out on you. Is there a person that said some pretty mean things about you behind your back or even to your face? Perhaps this person has even done some damage to your reputation. Well, you are human, so you can look at that individual and say, I want you to receive some justice for what you have said about me. You can look at this person and say, you said this about me? Well, I'm going to say this about you. Get even, make it fair and square. But that's not the attitude of Christ. Imagine what Christ could say of us, statements of fact about our lives that are completely justified and true. Things we have said that have been hurtful to others, but that we conveniently forgot when we focus on the gossip that's unfair to us. What Christ does is he extends mercy. He doesn't hold our own gossip or talking behind someone's back, even maligning another character against repentant Christians. Instead, he covers our sins in his forgiveness. Well, recipients then of this forgiveness, we offer to our enemies the mercy of the Lord. Call up the person who has offended you, the person who has legitimately sinned against you. Take him or her out to lunch. You pay for it. Not McDonald's. Be classy. Tell your guest that what he or she has said about you has hurt you, but you want a new start. Offer forgiveness before they ask for it. Melt them with your mercy. And not passive-aggressive mercy, either. Don't use the free lunch as a trap, a kind of, I'll test them with this offer of forgiveness, but if I don't see change, then I'm going to tell a bunch of other people how even after I took this individual to lunch and I paid, he or she still didn't show any remorse. You see, that's not mercy. That's a subtle, long form of revenge. Well, that's just one example, but maybe that one example will speak to someone today. As I said earlier, since God has shown extravagant mercy to us, how can we possibly withhold mercy to others? We give to others what the Lord has given to us. And since the Lord has given to us mercy, then it is mercy that we will pass along to other people in our lives. We do not work up mercy. We do not manufacture mercy. Mercy just comes out of us. It pours out of being Christian. That is what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 5 and verse 7. So let me encourage you today, whoever you are, and wherever and however you may be listening, God is merciful, and His mercy never ends. Listen to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. What an awesome promise. God's compassions, God's mercies never cease. They never fail. Mercy is who God is, and our mercy, lavished on one another, pleases God. This is what Jesus has taught us about God in our series, God is Merciful. Now, as promised, we are going to keep walking with Jesus this summer. And on Monday, I want to share with you that God is our rest. We will start a brand new series, God is our rest. Are you tired? Are you depressed? Are you burnt out? Are you out of energy? Is someone that you know feeling like this? Perhaps one of your friends or colleagues or family members? Well then, get a hold of that person and have them join you and me on Monday as we learn from Jesus that God is our rest. Jesus teaches us everything we need to know about God, and this summer we're following Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as He teaches us about who God is. So come along on Monday, bring friends and family with you, and let's get together again as we continue to learn who God is, and specifically as we learn from Jesus that God is our rest.